Welcome back. We are at Raise Up episode 18, and we're here with Jessica and Justin Creech, and we're going to dive into life, work life, lifestyle as a married couple who is navigating business and happiness and retirement goals for the future and juggling children that are still in high school and children that are grown and
children that have children
and children that have, yeah, you guys are grandparents. Like
grandparents,
we're grandparents, you guys are grandparents. Like it's a whole new world now, mm-hmm. and figuring life out. So
yeah,
tell well, us
thank like, you for having us.
How do you guys do it?
You were saying in episode 17 that you guys don't ever fight or like argue, and so How is that possible? Did you get it all out in the previous relationships and now you're just like, we're good?
I think so. And, for me, I think it was aligning myself with somebody with like-minded that we, we just get along and she's very easygoing and I can be a little extreme sometimes. So she doesn't feed into me and I don't feed into her. And, if we ever do get frustrated, we just separate for a minute and then boom, we're back, loving each other again. So that's a pretty positive thing. It's something that I've never experienced in a relationship prior to being married to Jessica and being with her. But it's just wonderful. It's everything Jessica. You could dream of.
Yeah, no, it's very wonderful to have a partner that's just, we stand side by side. That's what you do with your partner. Nobody's in front or behind. So that's what I love about him. We take on any challenge together.
One of the things that I did notice when you guys first started dating was we were over at the house and you were like working in the yard alongside him doing things. And I just looked at that as such a positive aspect of, because I didn't know you then, but I was just observing your behavior because I'm kind of weird like that and I just watch a lot of things. But I did notice that as it was like this very nice flowing, you were just coming alongside him in these like plans that he has to landscape the backyard. And that seems simple to some people, but that translates into bigger things because how you are in the small things is practice for when shit hits the fan, really.
In my previous relationships, my girlfriends or even my ex-wife, it was, our relationship was ran more as a, I guess a business, you would say. So there was a lot of expectation on what they expected of me to be doing every day. And when Jessica and I first started dating, I said, I think that's the biggest relationship killer is expectations that one person has about the other person.
Yeah.
So if you go into a relationship and you expect that person to be this person, it's never going to work, right? And it just causes conflict constantly. So we went into this relationship. I went into this relationship. I can't speak for her with an open mind. And I think she did too, just because, we did align with ourselves, but
no expectations.
Yeah. Can't have them. Don't expect me to do the dishes. You can ask me to do the dishes and I'll be happy to do them, but don't expect me to do these things. Right. Because Charlie, you can vouch for me. Uh-huh. Being a man, male, I don't know if it's just something that bred into us, but we don't think of stuff all the time. Right. So if you just
we do think of things all the time, it's just not that.
Just not that. right. Yeah. So
it's not bred into us.
I think that is a killer in a lot of relationships is that expectation part. So
I think we expect our kids to know it, but we don't expect our spouses
we do.
To know it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can keep filling it up until the sink is over full. Then they're like, well, I never sold those dishes. I'm like, you put
or the trash. Right.
Just
keep piling on top.
And that goes back to expectation, though. If you expect somebody to do it and they don't do it, that upsets you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that happens a lot in relationships. So learn to communicate and ask. You need help? I offer help all the time. If she tells me no, remember that.
Yeah. Right. I asked.
Don't expect, but I will ask and I will help you with whatever it is you want me to do. I will do it. No questions asked, but don't expect it.
Well, I think that's a refreshing answer.
Yeah.
It's it's way different from lower your expectations. Mm-hmm. It's more of this idea that it's like, be grateful and have this attitude of, I'm here, but I'm also not, I'm not your minion.
Correct.
You know? And that kind of places people in the proper balance here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jessica, how are you at receiving then? Because if he's offering, do you receive him always? Or is it this like, I got it, I don't need your help?
Most of the time is I got it. But yeah. Sometimes.
Which, you know, that's comes back.
But he always asks.
Always. Yeah. You need help with the dishes. You need help doing whatever it is you're doing. Nope, I got it. Okay. I asked. Don't forget. Yeah. Because, you know, I am here. That's what we are supposed to be, right?
We're partners. I think sometimes that's all we need to hear, too, is somebody's willing to help.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. You're not just sitting there watching TV and the other person's doing all the work. You're like, hey, do you want some help with it? I mean, I noticed myself doing a lot more with Athena, that we were asking her. She was making dinner the other night, and I was asking her, hey, we can do it. But then I came home and noticed laundry wasn't done, and so I started knocking out the laundry, and I wasn't a big laundry person. And I was very fortunate. My wife used to do everything, you know, so I didn't really expect to just, you know, it's just like, you know, somebody delivers a paper at 6 a.m. and you look outside, you expect that paper to be out there at 6 a.m. Yeah. You know, you're just looking, it's always done, you know? So it's just, I think we get in that pattern.
Yeah. And it is, it's a pattern.
There are so many patterns. I mean, Charlie and I, it's been 27 years now that we've been together. And I thought being a good wife and partner to him meant serving him in all of these ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just something that, maybe it was something that was, it was like a sacrificial kind of a service, though. It wasn't a healthy service. And as I grew older and matured, I realized that I really screwed myself, like really screwed myself, because I was doing so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because he was unwilling to help. It's just I handled all of these things. And one day I just stopped handling like half of them. But I don't know that that was really the right answer either, because then it was like the rug got ripped out, you know, and all of a sudden laundry's stacking up and this isn't happening now. And you know, and he didn't actually come talk to me and go, hey, is there something I should know? He just was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
And
so you say experiments. That's a... I'm the guinea pig. I'm the guinea pig of experiences that we just. It's like, okay, we got a new experience going on in our life now. No more milk, no more cheese, no more laundry.
Mm-hmm. But that's probably the piece that we missed was, I didn't know that. I just wanted him. I just wanted to know him more deeply. I didn't want. It wasn't that I wanted him to, like, do the dishes or whatever. I just wanted him to communicate to me in a way that he was, like, his heart was more open, I guess. And so it was easier to fall into that space of just me doing my responsibilities and him doing his responsibilities. And I really felt like that created a lot of conflict between us because we didn't have the communication that you guys are speaking of.
Yeah. Yeah, and going back on the expectation thing, and when I learned that was when I was married in my previous marriage, I'd come home from work and it was always complain, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. So I started keeping a log. I kept a log for 3 months, every day. No idea that I kept a log of everything that I did, from cutting the grass to mowing the yard, sweeping the, just everything. And it was literally every day I was doing stuff. And you know, we'd get in these arguments and I held it and I held it and held it. Finally, things blew up and I handed her my notebook. And I said, here you go. You don't think I do anything? Here's the proof right here that you have this expectation that I wasn't doing anything, but in reality, I was doing things. So this is you.
She couldn't see it.
Yes.
She couldn't see it.
Yeah, she couldn't see it.
Well, it was easier to complain about it than it was to.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think we all get in that mode. It's like if we're not getting something we want out of it, we're going to go ahead and complain about something that we don't have.
Well,
not be happy about what we do have.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, move that. Something you learn, right? Live and learn. And I learned, and you know, brought that and moved that forward. And you know, it Jessica aligned with me with all of it right off the bat, and you know, that's why I think we're successful today.
Well, we don't realize that we create momentum in whichever direction we choose.
Correct.
So we create momentum in this negative, unsatisfied or dissatisfied with your life perspective, or you create momentum in seeing the things that make you happy, that you enjoy, that you're grateful for. And it's really a practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to choose. Everybody on the planet has free will and gets to choose. And I feel like there were seasons of our life, especially, where we just didn't believe we had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for you, like, you started off with, it wasn't just the tow truck responsibility. You became a father at a young age, and you were knee deep in responsibility from then on out.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Raising kids, 18 years old, you know, it was working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was tough, 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 tough. You know, having a business, you know, where we were doing good. And then, of course, in order to grow, it costs money.
Yeah.
So you dang near bankrupt the business in order to grow, you know, so you're just throwing everything out on the table going, all right, well, I hope this works, you know, and, you know, so here we go again. It was just, it's been that my whole existence, you know. It's always been this big stress magnet of growing a business, and it's tough, and it's tough on your body, tough on your heart, tough, just tough on everything, you know. But yeah, it definitely a ride. Whew, tell you. Well, you guys know all about it too, though. I mean, you've been through the ups and downs and ins and outs, and it's fun, but it's not that fun.
I feel like we're living our better life now than we are.
Yes.
We were before. I feel 100%. Like that we've, you know, you have that black zone where you're making good money as a small company and you're doing well, and but that's it. That's all you can go to. Mm-hmm. You can only at six tow trucks or six employees. You only can tow so many vehicles. You can only work so many people.
You hit a ceiling.
You hit a ceiling. So as entrepreneurs, we don't want to have a ceiling. We want to dedicate what our ceiling is. We want to be able to determine what our ceiling is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we were kind of at. And it was just a same thing as you guys. It's just trying to figure out where that would be at. And it's a crazy journey.
You know, I would say that navigating parenthood with teenagers has also been another interesting challenge where you're like trying to shift from this like coaching space while you're, I mean, your teenager's looking at you and you run a multi-million dollar organization and they don't trust you to pick them up from school, you know, or get that Pokemon card in the mail for them.
Yeah.
And Charlie questions Athena's ability to be able to send out.
Mom, are you sure you're going to do that?
Mail it like, the right way. And we're at the post office and he's walking her through it. And I'm thinking to myself,
I'm the one who trained you, remember?
Yes.
But yes. And so they have their own piece. And being parents is like, it can be, you're navigating your personalities at work and you're navigating these humans that don't know how to regulate. And so one minute they're like moody and crazy and crying, the girls primarily. And the next minute they're like, I mean, the boys have their own thing, but have you guys figured out something with that? I mean, I know how Zoe's, is she turning 13?
She's 13.
She's 13 now.
She'll be 14.
Yeah.
But we've already dug deep into teenage for the last 3 years. Matter of fact, I say now we have gone up to like a way better plateau than we've been at in a while.
With Zoe?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
She it has been a turn of a child, and it's pleasant right now.
Good.
Right now.
Good luck with that.
So, I'm going to ride the pleasant
train. You're on the first year of the teenage years, though.
Emotional roller coaster that I've
She's 13.
Never
I know, but it's been...
Ever?
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter, Shelby, my oldest, she hated me for...
She's an emotional person too. Holy moly.
She hated me forever. It really wasn't until probably 5 years ago.
When I first started coming around.
5 years ago, she really started coming back around. But, you know, she was on the hate train. And
she was drinking the Kool-Aid from the bad person.
She was drinking Kool-Aid from the bad person. But yeah, you know, I mean, it was still... It's crazy seeing these kids grow up.
It can be challenging to watch them, like, eventually come to a place where they formulate their own ideas about things. I remember my daughter a couple of years ago when the Roe v. Wade thing got switched over and she was like, I can't believe they're taking health care away from women. I'm like, Audra, don't believe the rhetoric. Like, dig into it. All they did was they switched the power to the states and let the states decide. And if you live in a state that allows something and the state next to it doesn't, guess what?
You can move.
Go to the next day.
Yeah, you can move.
You can move.
That's
and
right.
She was like, I go, but don't allow someone else's opinion of something to like create this like negative energy inside you. Like, find out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that might have been like one little glimpse where maybe I reached her for 2 minutes that time. But it's I've just always wanted to see them like grow up into these humans that are productive, but like living out the things that they really love. And mm-hmm. I think that that's the dream for a lot of parents who love their children. I don't really ever feel like I want to live vicariously through them in some kind of weird sport or whatever. I just want them to figure out what it is that lights their fire and like keep flaming, like fanning that flame.
Keep fanning the flame, yeah.
I don't know if they're living that life that we want to live through them right now. They're kind of in their own little thing and we're out.
We're living our own life.
And we're taking off. They're, you know, it's so funny, and I'm sure you guys see the same thing, but when you guys are... when you're around, the kids will be in the room doing whatever else, and then you want to go to sleep, and all of a sudden they want to talk to you.
Boom, they're in your room.
So when they're not there, or you take them on vacation, and you go on vacation with them for a week or two, and then you come back, and then we take off to go to some trip, and they're like, "You're leaving us again?" I'm like, "We just came back from Arizona with you guys for 7 days. What are you talking about?" She's like, "But you're leaving without us." I'm like, "When we're around, you don't want to be around us, but when we're not around, you're complaining that we're not around." So it's just. I think they're living vicariously through us more than they are.
Oh, yeah.
We are through them. And I think what I was getting to earlier too, and I kind of sidetracked, is that black area and now the gray area. Now we're finally in the green area where we're really making money. I mean, mm-hmm. we're doing good. We're paying things off. We're in a place that we don't worry about what payroll is going to look like in 2 weeks because, you know, we got $250,000 payroll coming out. Mm-hmm. We know that we're covered. We have it, and we're in a more comfortable place. Now we're looking more, I think, towards what our end game plan's like. Is, you know, what's going to sustain us if we sell the company one day? What are we going to be doing? Buying real estate. That's what we've been doing and doing stuff. And I think that we look towards that next thought. And I know that you guys are looking the same way too. And, you know, what do we do?
We are. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, what is it? You know, I'm 9 years older than Jessica. So I don't know if she's really quite ready to slow down. I feel like she's kind of on the ride with me. But, you know, I'm ready to slow down for sure and start smelling the roses a little bit and go, all right, we worked our butts off to get here.
You, me, and Brent, I think we're all the same. Kind of, we talk about that all the time. Yeah. And then my wife is 8 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking at it like it's a slowdown because I always have like my own variety that I create in my life outside of whatever he's got going on.
Yeah.
So he'll be relaxing in his massage chair and I'll have my own schedule of things that create that variety. But we can come together. It's just when... sometimes my schedule interferes with his leisure time, then it becomes a point of what's going on here, you know? But part of becoming accessible remotely like allows us to still go on and do things, and correct. I can still maintain some of the stuff that I enjoy doing.
And we're about to push that into high gear.
Real quick.
It's risky. It's risky. But we're gonna. We're gonna do it.
We've already pulled the trigger. There's no risk. I assure you, it's not. It's like.
You guys.
The biggest thing, you know, we're getting ready to sell our house. It goes on the market here on the 15th of July. This is a house that, you know, I've been very passionate about.
Yeah, you built a compound.
It's 10 years of building this place, and it's
still building.
Still building. We're finishing up projects now, finally.
Coming to an end.
Yeah.
Don't worry. There's never an end. It's just the end of this project.
It's just the end of this project.
It is the end of this project, too.
But it is a surreal experience, and it's like, oh, man, we're going to sell our house. We don't have anywhere else to go, so now we're trying to figure out, what is our next move if this, once this house gets listed, and, you know, what if it sells in 2 days? And then now we're 45 days out from closing. Now we got to get moved and moved out. And this is going to be a real for real deal. So really looking forward to the experiences this is going to give because I was born and raised here in Anchorage. I've lived on the east side of town my whole entire existence of life. I grew up on Turpin. I went to high school at Bartlett. Lived over on Turpin my whole life. And, you know, being able to just sell everything and pack up and move somewhere else is definitely going to be a crazy experience, I tell you.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that's all going to bring us if we're just winging it. And I think that's what makes life fun, is when you have the ability just to wing it and just go it, do it, you know? And if we buy a house down in Nevada, Arizona, Florida, wherever it is we're going to land, just looking forward to the experience.
Is winging it cool with you, Jess?
I wasn't at first, but the more I look at it now, it's like we can't make a change if we don't change.
Sure.
So
same thing we talk about our company.
Yeah. She got mad at me the other night. We were out doing a project in the yard or something. It was like 11 o'clock. And she, why would we start this project and not be able to finish it?
1 o'clock in the morning.
At 1 o'clock. And I'm like, honey, you can't finish a project unless you start it. So it's got to start somewhere, right? So, yeah.
Just doesn't matter if it was at 10 p.m.
No. We just had to get it started. That way we make a mess. That makes us fix it, right?
Yeah.
Once you see it started, we all have enough ADHD, and it's, we're like, fuck, we got to finish this
thing. I know. That's the way it is, too.
I can't let this thing there.
Completely emptied out, so it was all over the driveway. So I'm like, we got to get back in there.
You know, I think it's really interesting to hear that story of you've been in the same space, and that's been your where you've lived and dwelled.
It's comfort
zone.
Like,
and I don't know if I've been like continually dragging him, or if he's like a willing participant, but I kind of have like this rule where we move like every 5 years. And the kids at first were, I felt like they were kind of trying to manipulate me a little bit to like make me feel bad for them. I'm like, you guys live in amazing homes. Like you have beautiful places amazing. That you live. We didn't move because of a bad circumstance. Like we moved to a nicer house with, you know, the ability to go through some of our clutter and not take some of that. And it's like a fresh start and this like new experience. And that's how I viewed that experience, is it was like, I have these thoughts of all of these different places that we've lived. And I think about it, they've all been like this like great thing. And it's not about, oh, my parents moved around a lot. Like you can look at it from two different places. You can look at it from, I maintained this level of normalcy and stability for myself because everything else around me had so much variety that I just needed one central space. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like you guys have like connected together as this unit of, it doesn't matter where you live, the center is here now.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so the center is you two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The center is the two of you together, and wherever you decide where you're sleeping is like relative to that.
It's just logistics.
Yeah. Feather floating.
You just know it's going to be a comfortable bed. You know there's going to be heat or air conditioning, food. Depending on. You know you're going to be able to pick whatever you want to eat, and you're not sure if the dogs are going to be there at that particular moment, but you know that they will be eventually.
I just know that there's 700,000 people who live in Alaska. And there's 300 million people that live down in the lower 48, maybe more. And, you know, they live in beautiful places all over the place. There's opportunities everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, I really enjoy the idea of just being fluent with it and just going with the flow of the motion and just let's see where it takes us. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right? We move back.
Change your mind. That's really the worst thing that can happen.
I mean, we move back or we go on to the next destination. And, you know, the plane's always running back and forth here. You know, I come up here and work for as long as I need to work, as long as we have just a home base here. I think it's going to work just fine. So, and in the market for a nice little condo. So if you know any that are coming up for sale or any of that stuff, you know, please let us know.
Amen.
So, house is going up for sale, and what's going on with the kids then? Zoe, is she...
I'll be up here 2 weeks at a time, 2 and 2. Minimum, we'll be up here 2 and 2.
For now. Yeah. She's expressed that she doesn't want to go, but I don't think she really realizes how serious it is. I mean, we've aligned with Matt, Zoe's dad. He's very supportive of us making a decision because he wants to move out too at some point. And
so he wants your support too at the same time.
That's key there, 100%. Is that you guys are aligned with him.
And we have a
him.
Great relationship, great parenting Good. Relationship with Matt. And yeah, so that works out really great. So yeah, we'll see. Well, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, you know, that might be a little tough, but we'll be able to do it for a little bit. But yeah, it'll be
a little bit.
We're trying to really push her to homeschool. But yeah, we'll see.
You know, I feel like that is a space that my kids are finally realizing the truth about the decision to move them into the homeschooling program. Is they have so much more freedom to understand what it is that they want to do with their time and explore. And they are out of the crisis of the morning, mm-hmm. where it's just getting them up sometimes. Mm-hmm. It is like, he made a comment one day about, did you wake up?
Did you go poke the bear?
Did you go poke the bear?
That would be Audra, because she is a bear to wake up in the morning. She's like, leave me alone, get out of my room, I'm tired. Like, oh,
and part of that is it's like none of the kids really were meant to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No.
None of them were. And no. And so they're starting to see this, like, actually, life is more calm. Life is more peaceful. Even if they choose to have, like, irritated moods, I can only imagine it would be like on high. The moods would be 10 times worse than they are now, yeah. if they were constantly in this survival mode.
Yeah.
And cramming for tests.
The public school system is just, I just feel it's just terrible.
It's pretty horrible right now.
It is.
And it's not that we have bad teachers. It's not that we have bad leaders. It's just we are not prioritizing things. And we have so many people that are involved that think they need to be involved in how we parent our kids and how we do things and how they think things should be done in the school district. And they just need to get back to the basics. They need to get back to just teaching.
Right.
Not get into our social lives, not to get in what we think we should be doing. They should just need to go back and teach the kids.
Well, I think part of that has come from some parents aren't parenting. They're just dropping off their kids.
And you're right. And there's a lot of ones that don't. They just don't have that second parent, and they're trying to make ends meet being two job mom, you know, trying to everything. So you were right in that too.
It's tough all the way around, mm-hmm. but I think you hit it. It's like that, without that piece, we would not have the level of freedom that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we would be held to kids getting behind in school, and then that dominoing, that. And then the stress of all that. And
yeah. Second grade teacher's like, I don't think it's a good idea that you take your kid out of school for a week while it's in session. I'm like, we're in second grade. What are we learning here? What's going on? We're going to Thailand. I'm sorry, but we're leaving. I mean, we're going to go. We're going to take our kid to Thailand with them. They're going to learn way much more there than they did here about your math.
And that's what we've been really trying to push to Zoe. We went to, recently, we just got back from Myrtle Beach. By far one of the best experiences I ever had. I highly recommend you guys go on. We should take all the kids and go do it again.
Yes.
This next year.
Was it like the motorhome at Disneyland?
You will love it. Way better than Disneyland.
Oh.
Way better than Disneyland.
By far.
Yeah. This place is just an amazing resort. And it's set up for the kids. Zoe didn't even want to come back to the motorhome. She would get up. She'd get up at noon. Yeah, we just left her, whatever, you know, you sleep in, do whatever you want to do. And she'd get up and she went and met friends. There's so many kids that are coming in and out of there. So many families traveling in there.
They have the golf cart rally every night. They literally drive up like this and they all high five all the way down. And then they go
like
down
the
this way.
That was like the highlight of her life.
For like 4 hours
She
every
loved
night.
It. She still talks to it.
They're cruising the strip?
They're cruising the strip.
Yeah. It was on lights.
They had speakers on the back of them. They had blow-up dolls on the top of them, or blow-up stuffed animals. I mean, it was just a really cool experience.
I don't go to the blow-up doll one, so I'll go to the stuffed animals.
It was not blow-up. This is in a bachelor party.
Okay, I was like, what's going on here?
Blow-up
dolls. What resort were you at?
Whatever they are, you know, gorillas and octopuses, whatever. They had all of it, you know, and it was just a cool experience, and I think it was really good for Zoe, and she met a lot of new friends that live in New York and Oklahoma and
Florida,
North Carolina. I mean, and she still talks to them.
You know? And that's a great experience to be able to show her, because now she can see that there's life outside of Alaska and her friends here too.
Yeah. And you can meet other people. And she wants to go back next year so she can visit all her friends come there, because they go there every year. And I'm, you know, trying to explain to her, I'm like, Zoe, there's places like this all over the United States. They do this. these little RV resorts and parks and stuff, yeah. they're all over the place. And, you know, that's it's something pretty cool. And if we can get her to go and do the homeschool stuff, then we would be able to go experience
She's all
and
for
do
the
all that stuff.
It's her dad. We have to
yeah.
get more. After July 8th, I think, is when we can go and talk to Frontier. So
good. Yeah. So we're Big Matt will come around, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially if he wants to.
Once you get past the, I'm going to screw up my kid's life.
Correct.
Once you get past that little fear, then the rest of it.
And that's his fear.
Yeah. But that's the normal fear that all
But that was the fear that we had, too. I mean, like, high school life was, I don't think, horrible. I liked my high school life. I mean,
yeah. Junior high was absolutely atrocious. Like, I felt like Charlie had maybe a different experience, but most people that I met, junior high was awful.
It's a tough.
Yeah.
Everybody's going through changes in their lives. And yeah.
And
young girls are turning into ladies. And I mean, I get it. By the time boys you're a freshman, boys are just boys. Yeah.
yeah.
We don't change until we're in our 30s. So,
no.
Yeah.
Well,
40s, 50s.
I haven't even changed yet. What's the matter with me, Charlie?
I think there's been quite a bit of change.
I know.
Especially like looking at you guys. I mean, yeah. you have made a decision that you're not going to do things that like, make your wife crazy mm-hmm. and you've made a decision that you're not going to do things that would be hurtful or disrespectful mm-hmm. and part of that is just aligning with this idea that hey, we've got an agreement here. The agreement is that we're going to honor each other in these various ways, and you just walk it out every day. Absolutely. And I think that's a beautiful
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and in the beginning of our relationship, we both agreed, you know, hey, we make it 2 years, and I think we can get married. As long as everything goes good that first 2 years, then we can look at it. Man, we hit that two-year mark. We didn't look back.
Shit, like, I remember going to Vegas.
This is it, baby.
Come on, Elvis. Let's go.
Yeah.
Jess in her jumpsuit, you in shorts, all of us there. We had
the greatest
time. We had a fun time. Then we went to, what's that guy's place?
And it was during COVID, so there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And they don't do it anymore either.
Really?
They're not doing Elvis anymore?
Nope.
Oh, no.
Well, they weren't. I don't know if
they are. I don't know if they are now, but they took it away because they are not getting...
They didn't have permission from the family to run Elvis weddings and stuff.
Yeah, something...
Wow.
So, I know that was a thing at one point, but I don't know if they do it anymore. Maybe they had to get permission or they have to pay
a fee or something.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they want their royalties.
Yeah,
to use Elvis. Call it Elvis. I remember, where did we go to dinner at? We went to that great place. What was that guy's?
Buddy.
Buddies, yep. Yeah.
That
Buddy
Bees.
That was a fun weekend.
That was.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, so back on the kids, though, you know, we're looking forward to the next chapter in that. Of course, I got my two olders, Shelby and Dakota.
Yep.
Shelby's giving me two grandbabies now. So we got Gentry and Magnolia.
And what's that like for you now that you are like a grandfather?
It is awesome, man. I love the kids. I like every aspect of it. I like feeding them full of candy and then handing them back to her. And, you know, it's that's like the best highlight of my life. It was, you want a popsicle? Here, take three. You know, just knowing that he's leaving at the end of the day.
he's leaving, but the other piece is that it's like I look at those people and I'm like, there is no reason for resistance.
Yeah.
Like all, I hear the word no a lot around their parents, mm-hmm. you know, and I just hear, and I think to myself, oh my gosh, that's what I did.
Such a negative word.
I there's been plenty of things when I've been on the phone with my oldest and I'm just like, I'm really sorry, but you probably learned that from me. But let me tell you, this is how you fix it. And I think I've said that to him many times. I think you learned that from me. However, there was one really special little thing that my daughter texted me a picture of because I shared with him in my busyness with work. I mean, he was an only child for a long period of time, and I wanted to. I mean, I was the only one who was really giving him hugs mm-hmm. besides his grandmother when she would visit, and so I had to be really conscious of that one. And boys tend to want to just pull away from you already anyway. Like I experienced that with our youngest boy. I'm like, dude, I'm the only one that really hugs you every single day. Like you have to receive a hug at least once a day, period. Mm-hmm. Like it's not up for discussion.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, fine. You know, and I'm like, well, don't make it weird.
Stands there. If there's one thing that I'd like to teach my grandchildren is, you know, to love life and love hard and, you know, be as positive as possible and never use the word hate. We've really taught Zoe every time she says it or anybody else we hear say it, it's not hate. You don't hate anything. What you do is you dislike stuff. And, you know, if you hate, you can't say you hate going somewhere. It's just not. It's just such a negative word.
It's too strong of a word.
It is, yeah. Man. It's crazy, right? I dislike it, you know? And that's how you express yourself.
Or I don't love that yet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's, I when the kids ask me something or they even call my name, it's always yes. I say the word yes instead of what.
Yes.
Because how many times can you hear the word yes? Like, it's like...
Please and thank you.
You know, and just from when he does something, every single thing, I really dial in on that and I'm like, thank you. Even if he's driving his own children home, I still, that's a chore sometimes.
You, please,
I'm like, thank you for driving the kids.
I always drive the kids home. They always want to ride with me. They always want to ride with me.
You know why?
I was like,
you listen to music loud or
no,
what?
It's just,
listen to all kinds of music, but they don't love my podcasts and audiobooks.
I was like, why don't you guys ride with your mom? What's going on? She's like, no, we're with you, Dad.
We're with you.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And then she gets all the free time on the way home.
Yes,
but I think that's part of
you
it
just is that treasure that time, Charlie.
I am.
He ain't gonna have it forever.
No,
unless they start popping out grandbabies.
Well, you know what, or that you start paying more for more vacations. You know what that like? Yeah. Everybody will show up when you pay for a vacation.
Yeah, that's true.
They show up in droves.
Last one was expensive.
I know. We talked about that.
I do there for a while.
And we talked about, you know, we're doing that cruise and we're sending everybody on that cruise and we're doing that in October.
So all the grandchildren, all the children.
And you're paying for all of it?
Aunt and uncle. Yeah. Ooh, my mom,
we've already paid for the cruise. We've already paid for the airline tickets. Only thing we haven't paid for is our VRBO so far. And
we got to house all these people the day before because you can't have like 16
of us.
People.
Where are you going to find a house for 16 people?
The day of the cruise.
Our VRBO here is 16 people. I wish we could take that and put that in LA for a day.
Yeah.
It's like $3,000 for one night.
We just got through doing that whole same situation.
Yeah.
Two cabins.
That's so funny. Yeah. We were just talking about that.
Then we had to Airbnb a beach house afterwards because their plane didn't leave for a couple days. So then we had to house them while we left.
And feed them.
And then, yeah, everything else. So
yep.
Now they go over here to the Airbnb. And then it was off and rolling.
Yep. We fully anticipate
paying for memories, building memories.
Hey, man.
But you know what I think is awesome is that the grandkids get to see a different, like, I'm the same person that shows up at work that's with Audra and Charlie, our youngest, but with the grandkids, like, we can just hang out, we can just do things. Like, I took my grandson fishing on the pontoon boat.
Right.
Was that Saturday?
Yep.
And they didn't want to go to the Scottish Highland Fair. I can't imagine why.
A bunch of guys running around in kilts.
But yeah, the two of them didn't want to go. And so they just hung out. And he was like, I just want to fish. He's 5 years old. I just want to fish. Will you show me how to fish?
Heck yeah.
And that kid had an attention span that I couldn't believe for just like reeling in that rod. And that was just... fun for him.
Little Charlie likes that too.
Yeah, little Charlie likes to fish too, but it's really cool. It's showing them this possibility of, wow, one day I can, you know, live by water. One day I can do this. I can do that. I feel like there's so many people that are just telling these kids that you have to stay in this box and I want to light the box on fire so they'll run out.
Yeah, there's less parent involvement with their children nowadays too. I mean, everybody's hustling, bustling, and working, and going home cooking, and by the end of the day, what do you got? You know,
you're
going to bed, and these people just get in a cycle of doing the same thing over and over. And I can't do it. I just can't do it, and drives me nuts.
Well, we've
done it.
That's
probably what makes me so spontaneous.
I think that the difference is we've done it.
Yeah.
It's not we can't do it. We just choose not to do it anymore.
Yeah,
because we've already been in that hustle. We've already been in that game, and we're just choosing not to. Again, letting ourselves be in the way of saying that nobody else can do it besides us. Yeah. And as we're now in our second half of our life, because I don't think we're in the third part yet, or the fourth. I think we're in the second part, that we're just looking at this.
I thought there was only like one half and then the other half.
Shit, I'm looking
for the third and fourth dimensions here.
Man, I'm at the halfway point there. But, you know, I look at that and just say, hey, you know, we can choose now because we're in a place. And I don't think our parents have those choices. I know my mom didn't. I know that our parents didn't have some of those choices.
Everybody has the choice.
Yeah, I think you have to put yourself in that mindset to get to that choice. And and if you don't have the funds, or you don't have the means, or you don't have a partner, or you don't have something else, it makes it more difficult, and it makes those achievable goals tougher. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've eliminated a lot of those obstacles in our life, or at least we try to.
I think you have to be open to realizing that maybe there's something else out there besides what I think is right. Like, that's probably the first step, is like opening up this idea. Because if you're always right, then you know everything.
Correct.
Yeah. Cup's always full.
So then how are you ever going to grow out of this space? And I mean, there's been plenty of times where it's been nice and comfortable to stay in one spot, but I think everyone has equal opportunity with choice. It's mm-hmm. just because if it wasn't true, then how does somebody who grows up as a poor individual become a millionaire? Like, they had mm-hmm. a choice. There is like a series of choices that need to be made in order to move from this space to this space. But I think we all have the capability within us somewhere to make those choices. It's 100%. Just some choose this path and some choose this path.
Yeah.
And what I see, especially with you guys, is you're showing the kids, especially, that there's other paths.
Lots of other paths.
Don't have to. And for the teenagers especially, it's this, you get to choose. And you want to choose being grumpy in the morning or isolation or whatever. It's like, we're going to still be the example of joy and variety. And maybe one day you're going to look up and you're going to be like, wow, they're having way more fun than I am. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
At an earlier age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to wait until I'm 70, 65 years old, 70 years old to do any of this stuff. Just doesn't make any sense. Why you work your whole life?
Not able to do as much either. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Less mobility.
I mean, that's majority of the people. They do. Yeah. They work their whole lives to get to the retirement age and then they retire. And I think, read a stat the other day about males. I want to say they said the average lifespan of a male right now is like 68 years old.
I think it's 74 is when I looked up that last year. And it went down a year and a half because they took the average of COVID and took all the people that died in COVID. And I think it's 73 now or 72.
So what's retirement age?
Well, 65 is usually what people are saying.
Well, that's when people collect Social Security.
That's when you collect Social Security.
Correct.
But then you see people do it. Yeah, you're right. It's not a whole lot of time from that time on. That you try to get the
retired in your 60s. I mean 70s.
I mean, you retire and you stop working at say 65, and then you live to be 73, like 8 years.
Yeah.
And you're gone.
Yeah.
You mean you had 8 years to do whatever you wanted to do? That's it.
Yeah.
Then you're 65 that you had to be
trying to figure out how to hike up a mountain.
Holy mackerel! Are you saved for all this retirement? And then you only live for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, man, that doesn't seem right. We got this backwards somehow.
You're right. I always said that the best way to go is be your oldest and then work your way back into the womb.
Yeah.
You go the backwards way. You be the oldest you are, and then you get all that knowledge and come back, and you're all the way to a baby.
Yeah.
You know, so if I was going to boil down everything that you guys said, it's like the key is to choose somebody that you're in alignment with mm-hmm. and continue. Like, making that decision every day that you're going to have this particular lifestyle.
Yep.
It's
visualize it and just make it happen.
I do think that visualization is a part of it, but it's mm-hmm. like you've decided I'm not doing this. Like,
correct.
You made a decision somewhere that this isn't where I'm going to be anymore. And then you attracted Jessica, or Jessica attracted you, because somewhere within you made a similar decision
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to be this person. And in order to attract that person, I have to show up as this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like you create the peace in him that he creates in you.
Yeah.
It's
cool. Yeah. Yin and yang.
Yin and yang.
That's the shirts you guys are going to get. Yin and yang.
Yeah. We got, what's our ones from Disney World? Thing one, thing two, or no, what does it say?
Yes.
I'm his thing and...
I'm her thing.
I'm her thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was at Disneyland, huh?
Thing one, thing two. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, thank you guys for being
the first
couple to join us.
No, thank you. Hopefully
that so funny, I told Jesse, he's like, how come you invited us? I'm like, you're the first couple we've invited, the first people in the businesses.
I'm like, man, we're on episode 18 already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to go on the podcast
and
see it.
No, appreciate it. And
no, thank you guys.
Hopefully some more insight.
I'm sure that you've given some great insight to people who are like trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of couples that are trying to figure it out.
Again, we don't have all the answers. We just know what works for us, and we just got to roll with it, you know,
and see
where life takes us. I don't know what else.
Awesome.
So
thank you, Paul Landis, for getting us all hooked up together.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. You're my guy.
All right. Bye.